Thank you. All lines are now bridged.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Work Group 3 of the Information Blocking Task Force Group. We'll go ahead and get started. Of our members today, I know that we have Andy Truscott and Sasha Termott on the line. The other members will be joining us a little bit later here today. So we'll go ahead and get started, starting with revisiting outstanding issues from our prior call, and I'll turn it over to Andy.
Thanks, Lauren. Hey, Sasha.
Hello.
This could be a really easy meeting or a really, really hard meeting. It's just the two of us. But the idea was that we'd work through the drafting of the recommendations as it currently stands and start coming up with that, what our recommendations would look like for the initial draft of a letter of transmittal. Is that okay?
I think that sounds good.
Okay.
And Andy, I just want to make sure. Can you see my screen? I just want to make sure it's up there.
It is. It's just very small again.
Oh, okay. I'll make it bigger. But it's the right document, the work group 3, you can see and everything.
That looks about right, yeah.
Yeah, great. There you go.
Okie dokie. Okay, so let's scroll down. I think on this first one, actually, we kind of had no comment at all. So the recommendation is the work group says we're going to leave that. Why are you scrolling too much?
So this is, sorry, I'm in the document natively, not watching what Mark's doing. So could we just identify, we're talking about information blocking first.
Yeah, 17401, information blocking.
We didn't have anything there, so I think what you put is fine.
Okay, cool. No, that's not what I put. That's what we put.
We put. What we put is seems to remain sufficient despite the conversation we had earlier this week.
Yes, I think so. Okay, so 17402 assurances. This is kind of where we started working on, trying to get in place in three parts. Discussion, a reg text recommendation, and a preamble recommendation. Some of the other task forces have been more narrative-based in their recommendations. We're trying to be a little bit more prescriptive on what our recommendation is to make the rating recommendations more straightforward for ONC, appreciating they're going to have a substantive volume of work. Whilst also including the discussion about how we kind of got to where we are and then recommendations for both the preamble to be amended and the recommendation for the reg text as a whole. So with the reg text, here's the entire reg text and what we think it should say, which may be largely the same as what you have right now with a couple of tweaks, or it might have more substantive change inside it. But actually, to give them that as a whole, the preamble would be a bit more intricate in that it might be a suggestion to replace the preamble. It might be a suggestion just to add some text to the preamble, etc. That makes sense?
Yep, I follow the format.
Okay, awesome. So given the first one's fine, let's get on to assurances. This is just a placeholder of the reg text for us to start working on and updating.
Okay. So we had two different recommendations we wanted to accommodate here. The first was adding a provision. I think they're both additions, actually.
Yep.
So should I kind of maybe add in a little bit of discussion?
Yeah, yeah. Feel to add it, and we can comment on it, yeah. Well, that doesn't have to be discussed. It can be in the actual reg text. And we can update the discussion later.
Okay, let me put in, okay, so I'm going to edit under B1, and then I'm going to add, I guess, what I think we're trying to say is like a B1 III.
So for the products which are withdrawn by the developer. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I think I tried to mimic the formatting of II and just said if for a shorter period of time, a period of 3 years from the date of withdrawal by the health IT developer of a certified health IT product from certification. And then are we marking what we're doing as new in some fashion, or it's
No, I'm just saying, there you go. We might, eventually I'll do a compare on them all so we can highlight the changes, but not, you can't do it while you're in Google Docs that easily. So
I would say from my perspective, if there's any way, I understand the limitations of Google Doc, but it'd be really helpful to have some kind of demarcation to show.
Yeah, Mark, once we've compiled all these, I will do a proper comparison in Word and share that. So you've got it all.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, I made the font red, and I don't know if that helps or hinders, but at least people can know that's why I made the font red.
Sure, it'll become black very shortly.
I think it helps more than hinders, so thanks.
Eventually, the way it's going to be is we'll have original, revised, and then the comparison in three columns. It's just taking a while. Don't worry. And then, okay, so this is... I don't think we need to, we'll continue to in there, because they do anyway, but the regulation is standalone.
That works. And I guess in the preamble, we can explain that's currently the practice, but it was important in our conversation. Or, sorry, in the discussion.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think those are the two changes that we wanted to propose. And then should we describe why in the discussion or keep moving on and come back to that?
I think we can go back and pick up the discussion.
Okay.
Because you've done quite a lot of work on insurers since, haven't you?
On communications, you mean?
Oh, communications job, yeah. Let's go on to assurances, okay?
Okay.
So assurances, I must confess, I'm kind of, this is my personal comment, I'm kind of thinking we should say, let's hang out and wait till TEFCA.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like it's irresponsible to make a recommendation that we should do something contingent on something we don't know yet.
I concur.
So I guess our discussion is just that we're specifically recommending that we revisit this once we know what the trusted exchange framework looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, leave it at that. Unless we're about to be told it's available or it's had no change since the first version, which I don't think we are. Mark's quiet at this point.
These are your proposals, so just letting you go to work.
If only that be the case, I'll work with one. Okay, fine. Right. Let's go to the next one, which is communications. Sasha, over to you.
Yeah, so I'm like half through this, and we can finish up if the approach that I've been taking seems to be working. So my approach starts, I think, where it first says discussion. And we had, I guess, just to outline kind of my thinking, we had, I think, three different themes of conversation when we talked about communications. So I divided up into three sort of discussion, regulatory text, recommendation, discussion, regulatory text, recommendation, and then there's a third one coming that I haven't finished. So the first one was related to timelines for contractual updates. And so I put in the discussion format that says, and if you want to scroll down further, it's down further.
I see, yep.
Yeah, I think Mark is still scrolling. Sorry, we have so much context in here. It's a little bit down more.
Oh,
okay,
I'm
further.
Looking at the actual Google document.
Oh, there
I'm
we go.
The Google document.
Yeah, it's here. Okay. So that's where I'm looking. Yep. Okay. So I put in the discussion, the theme of our conversation was that the timeline for contract updates was insufficient and that the effort that would need to go into that was underestimated. So I mentioned the example that I think, Andy, you had brought up. And then the intent was that there would be a plan for contract updates in 2 years, updated contracts at next renewal or within 5 years. So then the text is still what we had before under the proposed regulatory text. And then as far as I can tell, the regulatory impact analysis where the effort needs to be revised is all preamble. And so I put that into the preamble text recommendation. But if there's a better way to do that, I can certainly do it. And then I moved on to the discussion of the next item, which was related to the requirement that a health IT developer put everyone on notice of third-party content that can't be communicated and sort of enumerated on every part of the screen where it was. And we felt that was not feasible. And instead, it would provide a list. So I sort of edited in the middle here. I'll maybe put in red the part that I had edited. And I don't know why there's this like lingering comment that I can't get rid of in what I copied. Maybe someone else can figure that out. But I sort of suggested edits to D2III for that.
Lingering comment. Hang on.
Yeah, it's like highlighted weird under sufficient written. Or maybe that's just a highlight. Oh, okay. That's why I can't figure out how to get rid of it as a comment because it's just a highlight.
Because it's
okay.
Not a comment.
Yeah. Okay. And this I actually didn't edit. This was the previous phrase. So that was the proposal there, and then I was going to do a third set of sort of discussion and then text edits related to the themes of that we talked around screenshots. And there were three sort of areas that we wanted to edit there. I just haven't finished working that in. But if this seems appropriate, we could do that now, or I can come back to that.
No, we can do it now. It's just you and me on the call.
Okay.
We must get this one bottomed up. I think that'd be helpful.
Okay. Let me copy my
okay.
Things that I want to account for down for reference. This is just me working here, so.
Yeah, we're going to need to, the format I'm trying to follow, we're going to have to combine all this into one at some point, but.
Yeah, I just didn't know how to sort of keep everything.
Straight.
Correctly referenced, yeah.
Yeah.
One of the.
Or better drafted regulatory language achieving the same goal at ONC's discretion. They're all about simplification today, I think. Mark? Silence.
Sorry. What was that?
I said you're all about simplification, right, at the moment?
Me or the groups?
Well, both.
I mean, I think I'm all for simplification. I think everyone's realizing that simplification and clarity are tough sometimes in regulation.
No, we can only grandstand and tell you it needs to be. Okay. That's not what we're going to.
Thank you for fixing my spelling.
That's okay. Actually, I'm going to fix it even more and just take the word out.
Sure.
all intellectual property is significant.
Well, but that's not necessarily held true with all the screen design intellectual property.
Go on then.
Looks like my my internet is doing weird stuff, so we got a spiral situation. Oh, there it goes.
That's okay. Sasha and I are sitting here crafting the document jointly at the same point in time. It's quite fun, actually.
Yes, and then we can read up and catch up after a few minutes, so this is good.
Yep, that's fine. Is a work group actually working as a work group?
And that so rarely happens.
Yeah, unfortunately. Insertion.
Okay, Andy, I'm going to go back and read sort of how you've updated now that I put the regulatory text recommendation in.
No, but please, yeah, use that. I'm looking at the red text.
Okay. I think the edits look good. I made a couple of adjustments. Oh, and you accepted them already.
Yeah. I don't bother making suggestions. I'll just leave everything in editing mode.
Oh, that's fine. I just wanted to call out what I was doing so that you could see.
Yeah, that's fine. They were pretty trivial.
Yeah.
Back in if you want to discuss them.
I think we covered everything in this section, right? So we had that one.
I think so. I must confess, whilst you were doing this, I actually glanced through a lot of the previous stuff. I raised whistleblower protection as something in here as well. In the unqualified protection.
Not get
yeah,
that one?
Well, how did you embrace that? Did I miss it?
Show me where in the conversation that was, because I might have missed it.
It was up, we were talking about, you go back to the reg text, the original draft, A to I, basically, and I just said, whistleblower protection for raising these issues. Well, I said twice, actually, wow. This is really, really felt eager about it.
A to I, okay. Oh, yeah, I think I just missed that. We should incorporate it into a recommendation.
Yeah. So where have you talked about 2i? It's 2id, basically, isn't it? Proposals.
Oh, and I don't think we actually got the comment that I had on 2ic either. Maybe we just missed all these comments. I was looking more at our narrative text below.
How do we miss all this?
Okay, so I'm going to grab C, and if you want to grab two,
grab D.
C and E. Oh, you got D? Okay.
That's all right. Let's just grab the paragraph and head
okay.
down the bottom.
That's a good idea.
I'll see you down the bottom with the document. I wonder if the ONC guys are actually following this conversation.
They're just scrolling a lot, probably. Sorry, guys. Okay, so I don't think I guess that's just a discussion.
Yeah, let's try and capture our discussion in this section too.
Okay.
Actually, the whistleblowing kind of applies across B, C, D, E.
Yeah, that's fair.
Mark, when you guys were structuring this, did you consider whistleblowing or not?
Sorry, let me scroll up to exactly where you are. Which specific part are you looking?
2I, communication.
2I. All right, I'm going to go to the...
You guys have got offline completely, letting us just graft on this, haven't you?
Well, you know, you got to multitask a little bit. But
I'll pick up Elvis if you want.
This is actually Penelope's wheelhouse, so I'll see if Penelope's on.
I am on, and I will have to look and see to what extent we talked about that. I don't believe it's in the in there right now, but I can look into that.
Okay, no, I'm not actually asking about what's dropping. We know it's not there. Was it considered whilst you were doing the drafting? It sounds like probably not, which is okay. So I don't mind spending a bit of effort on this. But if you had said, yeah, we thought about it and thought actually it's covered here, here, and here, and the other things, then that's okay too. And we wouldn't necessarily spend the effort.
Okay, well, I'll look into it and double check.
Sasha?
Yes.
What do you reckon?
Let me scroll up here. It's just the last sentence that you added, right?
Yeah.
So from a legal perspective, I'm not sure if that's covered by existing like regulatory protections for whistleblowers, but philosophically, it makes sense.
Yeah, and I might come back and say, hey, we're actually, what was it, whistleblower. So, see, the Whistleblower Protection Act, right, only covers federal employees, doesn't it?
I don't know.
Hang on, we got a whole phalanx of lawyers on the phone.
You know, I'm not sure about that one, but I'll look into it while you're doing your drafting.
We're done on this one, I think.
I was just starting on the next one, and I wasn't totally sure how to approach it, but you can tell me if you liked the direction I went.
The next one, as in the RFC on communications.
Mm-hmm.
So look.
And Andy, just a quick search shows that the Whistleblower Protection Act protects federal whistleblowers who work for the government and report possible existence of an activity constituting a violation of the law. So yeah, that's right. I believe.
Okay. All right. Okay. I think, honestly, provided it's used appropriately, protecting people from reporting issues, I think, is very important. What the balance is, you can't have someone turn around and say, okay, my employer, who I've been underperforming to, let's say that Sasha decides that her employer is information blocking. She reports it, but actually Sasha's been underperforming for the last X years. She can't use that as a way of actually defraying the fact that she'd be underperforming. Does that make sense? Obviously, Sasha wouldn't underperform. It would be more likely what I would do. But does that make sense, though, anybody?
It does. I don't know how to construct that to make sense legally. We need someone with, like, better drafting than me.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of hoping that there was some existing legislation that could just hang off. But sounds like probably not. So we'll have to let ONC work on that one. I'll tell you what, the natural language transcription of my accent really doesn't get me, does it? This is just a request for comment section.
If we actually move have a for the earlier section.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Because we're actually suggesting they change the.
Yeah, we are. You're right. I don't know why it ended up in this different bucket. I guess that's just where we talked about it, and then I took the notes.
Probably, yeah. I think, yeah, 403, we should just be looking at the seven things they raised. Okay, so back up and look at this. You know when you go back and read something and you're like, oh, I didn't realize it quite said that?
Yes, it's tough. It happens a lot to me.
Yeah. When was the last time you read A1?
A while back. Should I look at it again?
Yeah, I think so. The usability of its health IT, the interoperability of its health IT, the security of its health IT, whatever information regarding user experiences when using its health IT, the business practices of developers of health IT, and the manner in which the user of health IT has used such technology. Pretty. Isn't there a business practices protection somewhere?
Can you elaborate? I'm not sure I follow. Sorry.
Well, I'd say some of this stuff around the business practices of developers of health IT related to exchanging electronic health information. So the way that sentence is constructed, are you looking at the top of the document?
Yeah,
you
can,
the original draft. Okay, I'll put it into rows just so we can easily see it. So, I read it in two halves. So we've got the developers who are developers of health IT related to exchanging electronic health information.
Oh, gotcha. It's like one of those where do you put the parentheses in the math equation kind of reads.
Yeah.
Right. I think this is intended to be read as a phrase.
I think so. But then is it the business practices related to exchanging electronic health information? Or is it the business practices of the developers who develop health IT that does electronic health information exchange? ONC, which way was it supposed to be read?
This is Penelope. That did come directly from Cures. And it'll find that.
Yeah, I get it directly from Cures, but which way was it supposed to be reading it?
Let me pull the language onto the screen. Which specific subsection are we reading from now?
We're reading 174.03 Communications, A15V.
A1B. Okay, so.
Which in the actual 20th Century Cures says the business practices of developers of health information technology related to exchanging electronic health information. It's pretty clear.
Business practices of developers of health information. Sorry, and so what's the question? Sorry, I'm just trying to catch up. So what's the question about how to...
The question is, depending on how you read the sentence with absolutely no punctuation inside it, are we talking about the business practices related to exchanging electronic health information or the business practices of a developer where the health IT they've developed relates to exchanging electronic health information?
I mean, I think the way... I'll look at Cures, but the way I read it...
It doesn't help. It doesn't help. It just says it's the same thing, word for word.
Can we suggest a change? Like, Andy, does your concern go away if we say the business practices of health IT developers related to exchanging electronic health information?
No, it's the same thing. If you said... I'll just reformat it on screen. If it said... if it said that.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I agree.
That would mean something very different.
I thought that was what was intended.
I'm not sure. The way I read it is it's the business practices that are being taken by health IT developers that relate to exchanging. So what's not clear?
Mark, the question is whether if you had, is it only business practices related to electronic health information exchange, or is it all business practices of a health IT developer if they have a product that does electronic health information exchange?
Oh, this is Penelope. There's, in the preamble, there's also a quote there under F, business practices related to exchange, where it says, we propose that the subject matter of, and then in quote, developer business practices related to exchanging electronic health information, end quote. So maybe that helps kind of clarify that.
Where are you quoting that from?
Let's see. So that's on page 179.
I'll pull it up on the screen.
If you go back to the actual 21st Century Cures, 21st Century Cures has these bullet points verbatim inside it, exactly as they are.
Andy, what are you suggesting?
Right now I'm not suggesting anything. I'm just trying to understand what the intent was. Because, to my mind, if the intent was to talk about electronic health information exchange business practices, then that isn't that mopped up in II, the interoperability with health IT.
Yes, I would think so. I mean, I read B as having that intent, and perhaps that's because it was confusingly drafted, but I guess I thought it was specifically called out with an interest towards particularly knowing things like that might not be about like the interoperability features of the health IT, but might be like the willingness to test with another party, which might be a business practice that isn't sort of directly related to the interoperability features.
Yeah, well, So it comes back to my previous comment of when you reread something a few times and you get several different meanings.
Absolutely.
The point is that these bullet points are taken directly out of 21st Century Cures. So it's not like we can just say, okay, V means the same as II, so we're just going to scrap it. We can't do that because it's in the legislation. We have to provide the amplification to the legislation about what this actually means. My suspicion is it's actually looking to address where a health IT developer in contracting with their clients does practice which is not considered healthy for the healthcare ecosystem. That's what I guess it means. And if that's the intent, then we could just slight tweaks to the word to make it or to make it clearer, that's fine.
Like the way you rearranged the words earlier?
Well, either do that. Well, that was actually rearranging the words in a way that I don't think, as I go through this time and time again, is the intent. My suspicion is the intent is to say something like health IT. That is what I suspect it means. And actually, given the definition of a health IT developer, it could have just said the business practices of health IT developers. It could have just said that.
I guess I did read it the other way. And we could argue about intent because it sounds like none of us actually know. I read it as this business practices piece was specific to exchanging electronic health information.
And this is Penelope again. If you look at the preamble on page 179, that might help. I mean, we do have the language very similar to what Sasha just said. We propose that the subject matter of developer business practices related to exchanging electronic health information.
Yeah, I saw that, and I get that preamble says that.
So it sounds like, Andy, we have a couple of choices. We could point out the ambiguity and confirm the preamble's read. We could point out the ambiguity and suggest an alternative read. Or we could, I guess, just leave this one knowing it's ambiguous.
You know, I'm trying to not leave too much ambiguity around. I quite like the preamble because the preamble makes it clear what the ONC interpretation was.
Yeah.
But then the preamble is a little bit ambiguous even of itself. Because then it talks about the developer's approach. Okay, well, that can mean a broad range of things.
Where does it say?
No, I wonder whether we just... Oh, go on. Go ahead.
I don't see the developer's approach. Sorry. Oh, my. The next page.
That's on page 180. And it talks about licensing practices.
Right, okay,
making
gotcha.
Making everyone available stuff, but developers' approach to participation, developers' approach to creating interfaces, and that feels highly subjective now. It's like developers' approach to participation in HIEs or networks. Okay, what's good and what's bad?
I don't know that there is a good or bad here, right? It's just saying that the developer couldn't say that their approach to we're going to join this network is confidential.
Yeah, but let's say that, as a developer, are you happy for disclosure of any of those facets of your business practice when it comes to exchanging electronic health information? Because that's what this communications point is around. You may not prohibit or restrict that.
I'm nervous if this is more broadly construed to other business practices, but it seems that the way ONC has defined it is the way I originally read it.
Okay. Hey, frankly, with your work hat on, this is more of import to you than it is to me.
Sure.
Okay. Maybe it's just maybe we should just say, I'm struggling because this is taken word for word out of Cures, and we don't want to go and try and, I don't think we can reword Cures, can we? But we can't obviously reword the legislation, but we can't, regulation has to say the same if it's literally taking it word for word. Is that right, Penelope?
Mark, do you have any thoughts on that?
This might be one we'll have to get back to you on. Yeah, I'm not sure. Do you want? Let me write it down so I remember.
It's A 174.03 A1B, but specifically A1 is taken word for word, and this is a good example, but it's a more general point. Where it's taken word for word, you can't go and change in the regulation where it's taken. Why are you just copying the legislation into regulation? Why would you do that?
Well, before I answer that, where do you see A1, you mean A1-2? Or I don't see A1-B.
A1-B. A1-B. The business practices developers of health IT related to exchanging electronic health information.
A1B, I'm confused.
V for Victor.
Oh, V, sorry. Yes, I see that. So so why are we doing it? Because, I mean, I think that's, I guess I didn't work on this specifically, but I think generally speaking, it's a good idea to, as much as possible, take from Cures because, you know, that's the language that they put out in statute that we have, or in the legislation that we need to follow. So.
Okay. All I'm saying is that this is unclear. This particular one.
Okay.
I haven't even started picking an I that's got no usability in it. But it's an unclear word sentence structure.
I guess I think in my opinion, this is not speaking, you know, I think it is clear, but if
okay.
you don't, I think I guess the read I'm having of it, and I think it's what we say in preamble, is that we're talking about the business practice of health IT developers and only those business practices related to exchanging electronic health information. Isn't Penelope,
yeah.
isn't that how we talk about it in preamble?
That's how the preamble discusses it.
So I guess, Andy,
yeah.
but if, it, but if you don't think it's clear.
I just wish you said it clearer. Fine, move on. We've exhausted discussion on this.
Well, I think a good suggestion for that one would be clarifying it more in preamble if you think we're not clear enough. Because I agree with you. I think it'd be difficult to change it because it is taken straight from CURES. That'd
yep.
be my suggestion.
Yeah. In the preamble, you talk about, you actually say it should be broadly construed. I'm like, actually, I wouldn't make this broadly construed at all. I'd make it very, very specific.
Well, I think broadly in the sense that exchanging electronic health information is quite broad.
Yeah, so the actual text says broadly construed to include developer policies and practices that facilitate the exchange of EHI, whatever that is, unquote. Okay. Let's get back down to this. Thanks, Sasha, for your updates.
No problem. I was adding the communications, unprotected communications edits into the bottom of another section if folks want to look at that. So my edits are at the very bottom of this box if Andy's concern has been exhausted.
Okay. I'll begin scrolling now, so tell me when to stop.
There's a lot of scrolling in this, yeah.
Yeah, my fingers are getting a workout here. Let's see. All right. Wait, so I around.
You're getting close, but it's still a little bit further.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. It's the very end of this box because I just moved it from the next box where we had the conversation up into this box, which is really where it fit.
Yeah, keep okay. going. You're just about there. You're
that's
just
the,
about there.
That's the discussion, and then the regulatory text I suggested is on the next page. And I'm sure Andy
okay.
will have some edits for it.
Yeah. I think it needs a definition, but.
So just a couple thoughts.
Yeah.
Just from a reg writing perspective, generally, you can't, or you legally shouldn't be putting examples kind of into reg text, you know, with an et cetera. Because we have to be really clear, but that would be good for preamble. Like that would be a good explanation of what you're talking about.
Is unprotected communication a defined term anywhere?
No.
No, I mean you guys made it up. I think that's right. And also, I guess I would ask, do you think the parenthetical in A3, it's pretty much just restating what is not in the parenthetical, right?
Yeah, I think that's fine. Pick up that.
But I think, Andy, you're right. You'd want to be clear. We need to define in some way, either in, unprotected communication, what that means. Or there you go. I guess you're putting it in there.
We'll come back and reword this shortly. Oh, no, actually, that's covered.
Yeah, those two buckets might cover it.
I think I do. Yeah, false or illegal covers hacker.
Right. And protected by other means would include, there was other contracts that would maintain information as confidential.
Yep. I think that covers it, right?
I
go on, take another crack. That's
seems
fine.
To. It seems to. I would love to run it by some coworkers and see if they had any suggestions.
So what do you guys think?
Is that to the ONC folks or to other? Anyway.
Well, we could ask other members of the task force. Either we're the only two here.
Well, that's why I was confused. Well, give me a second to read it. You need more conceptually what do we think, or whether as far as the drafting goes.
Well, it would be more helpful if you were more specific. Yeah.
I guess I don't know that we can really weigh in I don't want to weigh in on whether it's a good or bad recommendation. What I would say is maybe in the drafting, I was trying to pull it up as you were talking. A lot of times, if there's any way to like parallel the language that you're using here versus how we describe the other protections that we talked about, that might be helpful.
I was struggling with that. Because
Sorry,
the other sections were differently structured. So there might be a better, I guess, and I feel very unconfident that this is the best way to draft the intent. I feel quite confident that the intent of having a category that includes these provisions is important, but the drafting and the approach of adding it as like A3 and so forth, I feel very hesitant that this is by far the best approach. There could be other approaches that are equally as effective.
Yeah. No, I mean, and like, the most important part, I think, of these recommendations is making your intent clear on what you think needs to be changed. So I think that's fine. I guess I would also maybe, I thought what you had before, just being very upfront about that these are unprotected, like, being maybe even having a header, like that's italicized or underlined in the reg text, saying like unprotected, whatever you want to call them, would be good. Just to be clear, unprotected communications.
Actually, just as I'm tweaking this out, you know the difference between unlawful and illegal, don't you? Oh, please don't tell me I'm going to tell you something new.
Well, I mean, I could think about it and take a guess, but why don't you just – I feel like it might be kind of a trick question, so.
No, it's not a trick. No, unlawful is something that's against the law.
Yeah.
Illegal is a sick bird.
Illegal is a sick bird?
Illegal.
Oh. Okay. You know this is a public call, right, Andy?
That's absolutely fine, and it's absolutely fine to have some degree of levity from time to time when we're working through things as difficult as this. Hope we've given that to the members of the public for them to take home and use.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just going to do this. It's just.
Okay, that's fine.
And like you said, I mean, I think you guys can think about it and tweak it. Like, you don't have the final language right now.
We'll combine all these proposals into a redraft of the entire legislative text, so everything kind of makes sense and is laid out right.
Yep.
Okay, I'm good on that. What do we want to get into the RFC, Sasha? Because we just removed all that.
Yeah, let me scroll down. I don't know that we had a lot of recommendations that were separate from our earlier recommendations. So,
well, have we got any comments to make about these seven specific requests? Because they are making specific requests, but I think we've actually... we've used all these to with our recommendation drafting, I think.
I believe we did also.
And from our perspective, I think, you know, we put those in there to get you thinking about the issues that we're thinking about. But if you don't have to specifically address them if you think you've addressed those issues in the other recommendations, for sure.
I think we either addressed them or we had discussed it and determined that we did not need to make a recommendation on that item. And so I don't think we need anything additional here.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Okay, cool. Okay, ONC Health IT Certification. Actually, can I ask a question here? Because it's one that's been kind of rattling around over the last couple of days and previous calls, and that's we have a definition of an actor as a health IT developer. Okay, and I have actually done added this to some of the discussion points in the definitions work group, Mark, so you can have a look at that. But we talk about health IT developer, and... uh-huh. I believe that going forward, there will be organizations who produce health IT that are not part of any health IT certification program.
Uh-huh.
But they still produce products which we would want to regulate within the information blocking structure. So go on.
No, sorry, you go ahead. I thought that was it.
No. So in the definitions, we kind of already said, look, those definitions, they apply to all health IT developers, whether or not the products developed are subject to the certification program or they've applied for certification. Because frankly, you know, I know of organizations right now that are developing products which they have no intention of selling, but want to provide to providers. And give it to them. But because they're not going to sell it, they're not looking for a recompense on it, they won't come under the certification process. They don't need to go and get downstream money, so they don't need to be certified to do that. And so that's kind of a bit of a gap. Is our intention to have those types of organizations and therefore their products covered by these regulations explicitly or implicitly or what?
So I'm not sure I'm totally following. So we might need to go back over that scenario again. But I do want to make a point of clarification because I think you started talking about this because of 17580, right? The ONC review of certified health IT.
Just talking about the certification program, yeah.
So this is developers, and the definition of health IT developer or certified health IT is specific to information blocking in 171. So that's an important point of clarification, because what we're talking about here is just health IT, the product, you know, in the certification program. Now we're talking about the conduct, but these are health IT developers under the program. Whereas for information blocking, our definition says you have to have one product certified when the conduct took place that's being accused of information blocking, but it stretches broader than just that certified product.
And this is Lauren. Could I add to that, Mark?
Yeah, definitely.
Sure. So the way that CURES is structured is to frame the conditions and maintenance of certification requirements as conditions of participation within the ONC Health IT certification program. So I think because of that framing, there's a necessary tie back to developers that are participating in the certification program, since it's part of the certification program structure and how we enforce compliance with it. So to what Mark was saying, what's proposed here in 17580 is just the enforcement mechanism for health IT developers of certified products, because our reach is through the certification program. Separate from that, like Mark just mentioned, as you know, for information blocking more broadly, not the information blocking condition of certification, but information blocking more broadly for Part 171, OIG has enforcement authority for health IT developers as well as ONC for health IT developers that are not necessarily certifying health IT software.
Okay, so I think that's the clear distinction, that the obligations of these regulations are for all developers of health IT, whether or not their products are certified.
No.
That's what Lauren just said.
I don't know that that's what Lauren just
said. Just part 171 for the information blocking provision
is what
I was referring to.
Yeah, I mean, kind of, but there is, like, so if I can pull our definition of health IT developer, certified health IT, there has to be that tie that you have to have a product certified in the program, but the conduct doesn't actually have to be tied to that product.
So let's just clarify here, and sorry to take us on a little bit of a curveball, but it was easier here than in Work Group 1. Are we saying that information blocking as a concept can only apply to health IT developers who have developed certified health IT, and by implication is only something which anyone who's utilizing certified health IT can be guilty of?
Well, so that
seems
it's
to be a very tight definition.
It's a little more complicated, and so before, I'm just going to pull up the definition so you can see it, because I think it's hard to, it's not as broad as what you're saying, the way we define it, and we have an extensive discussion and preamble about this.
I know, that's why I'm looking for something simple and easy to understand, because everyone is going to want to know this.
Well, yeah, so I think, again, we disagreed on the clarity of the communications clause that we were talking about from CURES.
No. You and the work group disagreed, not we.
Okay, so here's the definition, and this is a little bit outside the scope of this work group, but the definition of health IT developer, certified health IT, means an individual or entity that develops or offers health information technology and which had, at the time it engaged in a practice that is the subject of information blocking claim, health IT, one or more, certified under the program.
Hang on a second. What does 42.300JJ find say?
Well, that's just the definition of health IT. That's what we're talking about there.
Okay. So this is a health IT developer of certified health IT. That's fine. That as a title, I get that. But we are therefore saying that a health IT developer of IT that's not certified is not subject.
Well, under the information blocking drafting, and this was based on our interpretation of cures, and I can get that language as well. There has to be, based on our read, a tie into certification, the way we were reading the language, and we talk okay. about that in the preamble. And I think it'd be easier just to read that than to have me try to regurgitate it.
That's fine. You set it up. Yeah, there is that tie-in, and we need to consider whether we want that tie-in or not. Well, we want to.
However,
to that. Go on.
Yeah, I would say. I mean, there is a request for comment that we're not focusing on in the other work group because there's other issues, but we do, I believe, request comment on whether on kind of the scope and the way we defined Health IT developer, certified Health IT, and whether we hit the mark on it. So, people definitely can comment. But
we've got comments in there already. Don't you fear?
okay. But yeah.
All right, let's go back to the task in hand, which
okay.
means we are yeah. just talking about developers of certified Health IT because we are just talking about a certification program. Okay. Dasha, back to you.
I was just listening along and trying to make sure I understood. Are we on to the next item in...
Yes, we are. We're on to 580.
580?
Yeah.
And Sasha, actually, I know that I when I was there at the high-tech meeting, I think you raised kind of this issue about health IT developers, and I would... I can pull the page in preamble, but I'd probably be helpful, I think, for the question you raised to read... that discussion of Health IT developer, certified Health IT in preamble.
Yeah. I have, and I understand, I guess, the ONC linking. You're taking the enforcement mechanism that cures references and saying that the definition must be sort of by necessity limited by the enforcement mechanism. So I think I understand why you've taken that approach, and I have a fair understanding of what the proposed regulatory approach is. I do, as I said in the meeting on Tuesday, worry that the definition, absent the enforcement section, is not narrow in cures. And I think there is a fair read of cures that says they intended for no health IT developers to information block, regardless of whether they ever participate in the certification program. And so I know that's the purview of the other task force, but my point on Tuesday was to encourage the other task force to consider that. I understand the sort of language about the enforcement piece, but that is very specific language that was not echoed in the broader definition of health IT developer.
Wait, which enforcement piece are you talking about, just to be clear?
Of information blocking.
Oh. Sorry, can you be clear? I'm not sure I follow about the enforcement.
Let me pull up the reference. We're really co-opting the other.
Yeah, I feel like we need. We probably
reference?
Need to get back. Yeah.
No, I'm not. I'm looking at it.
Which other task force is considering this, by the way?
Well, the definition of health IT developer of certified health
yeah.
IT.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be in the purview of work group one, but it.
Oh,
okay,
that's what I thought. That's what I thought it was. But you said other task force. I was like, hang on, there's another task force doing this. But yeah, it's this task force, but in work group one.
No, it just seemed like, and I think that's playing out. We have plenty to talk about in that group, and the I guess the topics we put on the agenda seemed more up for debate. But we're definitely open to the recommendations.
Well, it's only because we haven't got there yet.
Yeah.
I actually thought the EHI definition, given that I'd actually independently gone round everybody, and everybody had said they were fine with it. until we got on the call and all of a sudden they're not fine.
Yeah. I think that's the only thing that people were in agreement on. They were not fine.
Yeah.
Anyway. I guess, Sasha, just we can get back to conditions, but the confusion I had was, as far as information blocking goes, when we talk about enforcement, really what all we talked about was like the penalty structure, and then we tie in, you know, enforcement with the conditions of certification enforcement, but that's only for the developers under the program.
I think that my sense was that, so they say information blocking means a practice that, if conducted by a health information technology developer, exchange, et cetera. And the references in that section of CARES in the definitions are not limited to developers of certified health IT, as far as I understand it. And so in the regulatory text, ONC is saying, well, health IT developer is a certified health IT developer, and I think that's a deliberate narrowing, which I was questioning. Does that make sense, Mark?
I think so. I mean, probably not the conversations out here, but, you know, I do remember looking at this, and we tried to look at what Congress's intent was and, you know, analyze it as such, and I think the best way is just for me to say I'd refer you to the preamble where we have, you know, that discussion that you said you read. And if it's not clear and or if you think that we didn't interpret congressional intent the right way, we definitely welcome comments on that.
Okay.
Mark, you should go and read the notes actually on Workgroup 1, because there's a whole bunch of discussion around there around health IT developers who have elected for certification versus those developers of health IT who do not seek certification.
Where is that, in the Google Doc, or what are you talking
about?
That's
in the Google Doc Workgroup 1 in the very last section. Parties affected by the information blocking provision.
Was that recently added, or was I don't remember seeing that.
Yeah, it's probably added over the last couple of days.
Okay.
I lost track of where we're editing now.
We're not even inside Workgroup 3 now. We're in Workgroup 1. But it's germane and interlinked, and it's all to the subject of this task force. And now, Sasha, I have to tell you, I think you're bang on, because if we are saying this only applies to developers of certified health IT, then I'm not sure that's what CURES intended. And I think with emerging business models around health IT, there's going to be a decreasing number of people who seek certification, because there's no value to them in doing that. And also OIG's enforcement, are you going to say that the only people who will be sanctioning IT developers are going to be ONC? That doesn't seem to make sense either.
Andy, are you talking about information blocking broadly or subpart E, which is where we left off, broadly, right?
I'm talking broadly, but I'm talking about the actors who are actually
could be
deemed to be guilty of it.
Sure. Subpart E, I think, is clearly about the certification program, and wouldn't make sense that that part would be broader, but in general, I think information blocking could be broader, which was the point I was making to Mark a minute ago. But
yeah, and that's the point that I'm agreeing with. Well, yeah,
okay.
The certification program is the only mechanism available to ONC to censure health IT developers of certified health IT, I think. In fact, I think it's the only program that ONC have to censure health IT developers, is if their products are certified health IT. Is that correct? Is that my assumption that I've been working with?
Well, yeah, I'll let Lauren weigh in, but what we're doing here with the conditions is extending it to conduct, but still, yes, it would be for developers under the program, but if Lauren wants to chime in.
I completely agree. That's where we have authority.
Okay, so what authority does OIG have over health IT developers.
Well, so the authority given to OIG is for information blocking, and that's straight from CURES that says that they have enforcement authority for the information blocking proposals that we're putting through in regulation.
But is that authority only over those developers of health IT where that health IT is certified?
Well, so I guess, Andy, I'll kind of frame it. You know, in CURES, there are these four actors that are identified by Congress: developers, providers, exchanges, and networks. And what we've done is we've defined those terms based on our read of CURES and the way that they use developer and talked about certification. We narrowed our definition to say that it would be a developer of certified health IT, like I pulled up, would have to have had at least one product certified under the program at the time that the suspect conduct took place. But as we talk about in preamble, it doesn't have to do with that. It's broader than just that one product or conduct related to that product, but the tie-in is to the certification of at least one product.
Yeah, and that's where I think we might have a disconnect in intent and what we've achieved, because it doesn't. If you said the only implications of information blocking are going to be for those certified health IT products, then that would tie in with the reading. But because we say, well, if you're a developer and you have a product that's certified health IT, but if information blocking is going on in one of your other products, we're going to come after you. That's kind of where I think there's a disconnect.
Well, so I'll just say this. I don't want to hijack this conversation because you guys were making a really good progress. But in preamble on page 332, we say that sections 3002B1 and B1A state in relevant part that OIG may investigate information blocking claims regarding a health information technology developer of certified health information technology or other entity offering certified health information technology. And the way we read these sections is that they make it clear that information blocking provisions and OIG's authority extend to individuals or entities that develop or offer certified health IT. But I don't know that – I think it might be an interpretation disconnect between where we are and where you are, but we are going to talk about this in the full task force meeting, I think, in our presentation. So I'm not sure how much time we'll have for discussion or Q&A, but it could be something that's raised.
No, that's okay. That's okay. We absolutely should. I think this is a good conversation to have across full task force. And one of the reasons we're actually having it right now is because, you've got Sasha and me on the phone – and Denise, hello, we know you're listening, but who are both knee-deep in this stuff as involved in developers, with developers, and it's a conversation that we're going to have in full task force, but we just want to get your point of view on it and where MNC was coming from ahead of that.
Yeah, I would say that it is a – I'll just say, with it being discreet, CURES wasn't – absolutely clear about what it meant, and there was interpretation that we felt was necessary, and we in preamble are very clear about where how we interpreted and what steps we took to look at the language in CURES and the Public Health Service Act to make our interpretation. But I think it's definitely a conversation we can have.
But the danger is that we inadvertently don't achieve CURES and what CURES wanted us to achieve, because we have too narrow a definition. I think, well, we all get that. So, okay. Should we get back onto this one? 508.
Sure.
That works.
Come on, Sasha, you take first stab.
Okay, I'm just looking up at the... Do we have regulatory text?
I don't think we do we? I think it was more, we've got more comment around the preamble. And,
So this one, you're looking at 580, right? So this is the one that Lauren, I think, talked for quite a while about and explained, I think, really well. that what we're doing is just we didn't put reg text in because we're basically just taking the process we have in place previously for direct review of certified products and making modifications, and we thought that it was clearer, and I think Lauren or someone else plugged in this table to kind of make clear, you know, how we differentiate the different sections here.
I think that was me who plugged in the table, but yeah.
Oh, it was Sasha. It was Sasha who plugged it in, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Thank you, Sasha.
Okay, so I'm going to put some discussion.
I mean, so, and I think we talked about it, but there are some distinctions that I think we noted that we don't include steps like suspension and proposed termination, which are part of the direct review process that's currently existing. They wouldn't apply for the conditions. But I don't think anyone had an issue with that.
Well, you would move straight to ban.
Yeah, and well, not straight to ban. We have the steps that we talk about, you know, providing notice, corrective action, and so on and so forth. We didn't include the suspension, and again, Lauren probably can speak. Well, maybe I'll see if Lauren wants to weigh in about why we didn't include those steps before I go.
Sure. So if you recall that the direct review process we have today under the Enhanced Oversight and Accountability Final Rule really stipulates, generally speaking, that there has to be a pretty egregious patient safety consideration. For that process, we have the suspension process because if, you know, there is a belief that there is some kind of patient safety risk, that we could suspend the certificate of the products while we're investigating exactly what's going on. You know, what we say in the preamble is for the conditions and maintenance of certification, we don't necessarily see there always being an egregious patient safety circumstance, especially since, you know, a lot of the conditions concern developer behaviors and actions. And so we propose not to have the suspension step when we're enforcing the conditions of certification. And then likewise, we propose to streamline the process somewhat and still work through a corrective action process with the developer, but instead of having a proposed termination step like we do today that gives the developer an additional time frame and opportunity to remedy the issue, we could go straight from the corrective action process to the termination. Of course, the developer can appeal the determination if there is a ban or a product decertification. And there was one more point I wanted to make, but I'm blanking. So if it comes to me, I'll mention it.
Okay, thanks, Lauren. So what do we want to do with this, Sasha?
I tried to move our proposed recommendation into some preamble text and discussion.
Yep. Well,
am I in the right place or scroll down?
Oh, sorry. I'm
We're not even looking at your
hold
screen,
down.
Mark.
Oh, good. Okay.
We're just live in the Google Doc. Okay.
I'm not sure that the recommendation to use certified mail is preamble, or was that actually regulation that the communication shall?
That's a good question. I don't know. Let me look at the actual regulatory text.
It would be both. There's a separate section, I think it's 17505,
yeah,
that concerns how ONC communicates for the program in general, which would encompass our use of direct review as well.
Okay, I copied that.
Okay, so it's
any change.
Yeah.
And so probably, I would guess, if a change were to be made, as you're suggesting, we'd probably put it, yeah, like we'd probably make the change to 505 to clarify.
Yeah, I think that's the right place. Okay, it says correspondence communication ONC or the NASA call list shall be conducted by email. Shouldn't that say?
I think we want to maybe add another, and I don't know if we
have
to see, but for specific communications that we listed, those would use both.
Simultaneously, we deliver by email and registered mail.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, look, it's already said unless otherwise necessary or specified, so we're deeming it necessary and specifying it. That's good. You already wrote this thinking that we were going to comment.
Does that work, Andy? I can make this red to show that it was an edit.
Yeah, I shouldn't say no with you. Change that and to an or of ban.
Okay.
We should simultaneously line so if I'm not, yeah.
So I'm probably putting on the hat, I shouldn't, and pretending to be a task force member. I'm just going to pose the question. Did you also want that to include notices concerning the appeals process?
That's a good call. Like it. Yep.
Are you editing?
Task force thinks that's a good idea. Oh, you can add it. You're typing.
All right.
You know, is there an expectation in ONC that this these processes are going to be used more?
Yeah, well, I mean, we can't. Oh, go ahead, Lauren.
Well, I was probably going to say what you were going to say. I would defer you to the preamble. I don't want to make any comments.
Okay, then don't.
I mean, I think it's a fair thing to say that we are expanding the scope of review. So, you know, there's more to look at.
Yeah, I think so.
When do we need to stop for public comment? Just watching the clock.
8 minutes time.
Okay. So should we try to get through 581?
Yes.
I don't know that we had any recommendations in that one, so that might be fast.
Exactly. It'll be very quick.
All right, excellent.
No, I don't think there is anything to add to this one. We can.
I'm just going back up to the very top to copy what you said about the first one.
Yeah, take that in.
And then I'll paste that in, yeah.
I think it's us saying that ONC's done a fantastic job and we're very, very keen on this one as it stands. Or alternatively, we endorse it.
Sounds good.
We thought you'd appreciate some endorsement.
Everyone needs it sometimes.
Okay, so then the next one was about public listings of certification bans and terminations, and we had two thoughts. So I guess this is, like, what is there regulatory text that we should copy? Would it be 581?
So for the request for comment, it doesn't really concern any proposed regulatory text.
Okay. So we should maybe just answer the questions in narrative fashion?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We suggested the indefinite communication.
We could add maybe a little bit of context as to why we made these two suggestions.
Yeah.
I guess for the second one, the sense of the task was that knowledge, or sorry, that this is for the first one. Knowledge of past bans was important. And then for the second one, just looking at our notes.
Hey, Mark.
Yep. What's up?
I've got a bad, bit of bad news. I've just spotted a cloud.
Yeah, I still haven't spotted any blue sky where I am, so.
It's okay. It's very small. It's just a wispy one. That's fine.
Where are you, Andy?
In Texas at home. Houston.
Oh, you're in Texas. Okay.
Can't you tell from my accent?
Yeah, right. I've been on, but I hadn't been able to speak until now because I was in the doctor's office.
I'm sorry. It's good to have you here.
Okay. Yeah, it was hard because I wanted to say something when we all were having the conversation about the definition of health IT developer.
Well, feel free to contribute it now while Sasha's graphing.
I finished graphing, if you want to take a look too. But
I'm reading it, yeah.
Yeah, let's just stay with where Sasha's at. I'm good.
Yes, that's fine.
Okay, I'm moving on to the next.
That looks good.
A2IIA. I got to go copy that.
A dumb question, actually. How many self-developers actually certify their health IT?
We don't really honestly have a very good handle on that, because of the way that we collect data on the chapel. But, I think in our analysis of the data we do have, I can't give you an exact proportion, but it's pretty small.
Okay.
I would say probably less than 5% of all the certified health IT developers.
Okay. So it ties into our earlier conversation as well around what is a health IT developer? Because I'm pretty sure that a large majority of self-developers probably don't seek to get certification because they don't need to.
I would agree with that, Andy, because the reason Marshfield and Mayo and others got their technology health IT certified was so they could meet the meaningful use requirements. But those entities developed things beyond, or did develop things beyond what was needed for the EHR certification program, but they didn't get that all certified. And even other health systems today are doing development that sits on top and uses through APIs data out of the EHR. So you know, unless they want to lend some sort of credibility to it or wanted to market and sell it. I mean, I guess because ONC will certify technologies, I think, that are not specifically for EHR. At least I thought they do.
Yes, that's right. We certify data warehouses, you know, some HIEs. So yes, you know, we certify more than just the traditional EHR.
This ties me neatly back into the conversation that we were having earlier about how reaching do we want this to be. I'm an organization like Marshfield that's built my own, not only my own EMR, but my own ancillary and interoperability components around it, but they're not certified. Does that mean I can say, well, my software's not certified, therefore I'm not guilty of information blocking?
No,
and they're a dual actor. They're the developer as well as a provider. Sorry, you were saying.
Well, I was just going to say, when you all were having that conversation earlier about the intent of Congress and the Cures Act on information blocking, I mean, well, if you think about it from the patient's perspective, if a health system has technology that's certified and not certified, and it has EHI and it and the patient wants it, and you don't give it to the patient, you're information blocking. I think it's pretty clear cut when it comes to the data provider. It doesn't matter whether it's certified or not. I think the information blocking intent was that the patient should get their data, and then if a health system wants to move from one platform to another, one vendor to another, it's implied in the regulations that they're expecting all EHI can be moved, and you know, all data.
I think we're going to need to discuss this not only in full time, but also. Go on.
Yeah, that's why we're going to be on your call tomorrow, because of how we narrowed the EHI export in our recommendation.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that conversation with the other task force on that. But honestly, I think this is going to be a discussion point that we're going to want to talk about not only in full task force, but also in full committee, just so everyone's on the same page. And hey, given the conversations we ended up on prior authorization yesterday, I'm pretty sure that there's going to be some fairly strident views around this as well.
Okay, we should probably take a quick break for public comment.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Then we can finalize. Operator, can you please open the line?
If you'd like to make a public comment, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press *2 if you'd like to move your comment from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys.
All right, let's see if we get lucky. Any comments in the queue at this time?
None at this time.
Okay, I'll give us back 8 minutes.
I put recommended text in for the final one, so if folks want to look at that, then we might be done.
I concur.
Is that the one on where you added
at the very bottom of the entire document?
Yeah. Where's the original reg text in there? That developer employees and contractors, the health ID developer may prohibit or restrict the communications of developers, employees, and contractors.
So this
is
from the communications.
Does it say that?
Yeah, so the idea in the communications provision is that a health IT developer might share confidential stuff with their employees and could expect the employees to keep it confidential. But when we were reviewing this from a self-development perspective, we realized that employees of the same entity that might be performing the self-development might be health IT users who are intended to have their communications protected under CURES. So this edit...
Wouldn't that get picked up in our whistleblowing point?
I don't know that it would, because it's a little bit different, right? A health IT user who wanted to communicate about the usability of the self-developed product wouldn't necessarily be a whistleblower. They might just be saying, hey, I love this product, it's the best, or I don't like this product.
So I'm not seeing, is that the text that you're supposed to have up on the screen right now? I'm seeing 170.505.
No, they're at the wrong spot.
I'm behind. They told me to stop scrolling because they were not paying attention.
We didn't tell you to stop. We just told you to stop.
All right, so wait, what page am I on, Sasha? I can scroll down there.
The very bottom.
The very end.
So what you said, Sasha... in response to Andy's comment, I agree with you. Those users need to be able to talk about just their experience using it, their usability, and this and that. That's not the same as whistleblowing.
So I proposed the sentence in red on the screen to accommodate what we had previously discussed as this provision for self-developed systems, but certainly go ahead and suggest changes if we want any.
Well, I must admit, I'm not quite sure that it gets to what we're talking about. They're not permitted to restrict the communications of their user employees with respect to these provisions. Well, that's... Okay, communications to whom?
To anyone.
The who isn't specified in the communications section, right? Your communications might be to any party, depending on which of the flavors of communication is taking place.
Okay, so I'll be tempted, given that this is an RFC section, to actually move that into our proposed regulatory text.
Sorry, I don't follow what you're saying. Could you show?
No, I don't either.
This is an RFC section, and you've got proposed regulatory text drafting. So I'm proposing we actually move that regulatory text up to. There's a section way above that I'm looking at right now.
Oh, so you're saying this is a request for comment section versus a proposed regulatory text change.
Yeah. So we should actually put it to the right section above.
Move it.
Yeah, that's all.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and I don't know if you want to say user employees or employees using the software. Versus developing the software.
Yeah, that's fine. Using all development.
If we have 3 minutes left, I have a suggestion.
But I was going to announce that we can probably close this work group. But if you've got a suggestion, I'll keep it open.
A coworker,
go ahead.
Up on what we talked about earlier. So you remember in the unprotected communications section, I said I'd love to pass that language by a coworker and see if they had any feedback. I got back some input on how we might be able to draft that more clearly, and so. Would love to get your take on if we wanted to make any changes there in the last 3 minutes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is up on, let me look at the page here. How do I see what page this is? 14, 15, maybe?
I think you went too far.
Sorry.
I put this comment over off to the right with the language that my colleague suggested. I can paste it in line if that's easier.
Okay. Oh, here we go.
So this was the my colleague proposed alternative drafting.
It's that little print off to the right.
It's the new red text.
What are we looking at?
So the red text that I just pasted in that starts off with 3, a health IT developer may prohibit or restrict.
It's up on the screen, Andy, if you have that.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that. Oh, so the proposed wasn't a reword. It was a wholesale change.
It was, let's make this longer.
Yeah, well, so my colleague suggested a slightly different approach because instead of defining unprotected communications, he suggested sort of framing it in this alternate way. And then he included more examples.
You just have these lawyers sitting around doing nothing. I get what it's doing. I like the explicit nature of what you had proposed before, that because we acknowledge there are some communications which must be unprotected.
Yeah, we could incorporate these examples into the unprotected communications.
Or put this in preamble.
Yeah, that's a lot to put in regulatory text. I don't know.
I thought we bottomed off that one yesterday. Yeah, okay. Well, I knew it was.
You want me to move it into the preamble?
I was going to try and shut down this work group too.
And one thing just to note, because we've talked about it before, it seems like there might be more detail in this language that Sasha pulled over, which is fine, but you want to make sure that anything you pull into preamble is just clarifying regulatory text. So if you're proposing that brief regulatory text, you just want to make sure that the preamble isn't going beyond that. It's just explaining it.
Well, I must say, if I look at that 3I and that 3IB, and it's talking about the communication versus the content, you're talking about the communication is unlawful. Okay, got that. And then you talk about the content is subject to a lawful obligation. Okay, this just seems a bit more intricate.
Yeah.
I agree. And
I don't think we're going to resolve this in our remaining minute. Or actually, we're over.
We're not. Oh, well, it looks like we're going to have another work group meeting to discuss just this that Sasha brought to the table in the last 3 minutes. Thanks, Sasha.
You're welcome.
All right, well, I'll keep it on the schedule then.
Yeah, we'll do it, and we'll come straight in and talk about this. Okay, guys, thank you ever so much. I think we've got this work group into a particularly good place, so thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Sasha.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good night.
Bye.
Take care.
Tomorrow. Bye.
See you tomorrow. Bye.